لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, there were some brothers that were traveling and they were caught up in a storm. They took refuge in a cave. The storm was quite heavy, so a big boulder had just fell from the top and blocked the entrance. Now there's no way to come out. It's so huge, so big, that they cannot push it out and they can't come out. So it's natural for men that when there is no other way out, then he turns to Allah Ta'ala. If there is an exit, then he will use his mind and he will try and come out. But if there is no exit at all, then he will turn to Allah Ta'ala. Whereas it's supposed to be that that's the first call. You try and use the means afterwards, but the first call is Allah Ta'ala. Beg him, beseech yourself, implore his assistance, and then try. Nonetheless, when they saw that they were totally caught up, then they discussed the matter amongst themselves. So it was agreed that we'll make dua through the wasila of some good deed that we have done. Hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. Some good deed that we have done in the past, and through the blessings and the wasila of that good deed, let's make dua. So one person says that, O Allah Ta'ala, I have a huge business, and I had employed one person to do some work for me with an agreed salary. Salary will be in grains, 100 kilos of grains. It's agreed. In Islam, these matters require that we be very clear, must be transparency, nothing ambiguous. For a sale to be valid in Islam, then if there is anything that is ambiguous, it can lead to a dispute or misunderstanding, then generally it renders the sale invalid, fasid. Why? Because of some ambiguity. One party or the other is going to dispute. So what are the matters that have to be cleared out? So there are about 5 or 6 things that has to be cleared out. One is the price of the commodity that is being discussed. What is the price? So sometimes the person wants to be good at the beginning and he doesn't confirm the price. Take it by I know you're not going to steal the thing. Take it. We'll see about the price later on. So Islam will say such a deal is invalid in spite of the goodness of your heart. But this can lead to a dispute in the future. Told him to take it and move, go. We'll see about the price later on. Later on, and you say that the price of this commodity is 1,000 rand. And he expected it to be somewhat 500 rand. So this is what was my expectation. I budgeted for this. He says, no, this only landed me on 950 rands. I'm just taking 50 rand profit. But the dispute goes on. But the dispute comes about because of the ambiguity. And Islam is saying, don't be ambiguous. Make it clear. So in the inception, if you make it clear, it would seem that you are a little bit hard, but you won't have problems in the future. So it must be absolutely clear, transparent, no ambiguity. The second thing is that the date of payment also, if it's a credit transaction, the date of payment also must be confirmed. You cannot leave this area also ambiguous. You cannot say, well, I'm going to Dubai and go for Umrah and I'll come back and I'll see you, inshallah, don't worry. Immediately the same week I'll pay you and I'll come back. Now it's possible that the flight to Dubai and Umrah, etc., may be delayed. You were expecting to go this month and you postponed it for some reason for 3 months later. That person was calculating that, well, you're going this month and maybe in 1.5 months I'll get my money back. Now it's already 3-4 months and you haven't yet gone. Then you thought of leaving after 6 months. And then from Dubai you thought of going to India, Umrah, it took another 3 months to return. Other man is saying, I expect my money to come earlier. So the second point is that the date of the payment also let it be confirmed. Don't let it be hanging. Clear, transparent. This is how you get the barakat in the deal. Right? So the hadith says, Tajiru Saduqul Amin Ma'an Nabiyina wa Siddiqina wa Shuhada. The businessman is truthful, very truthful. I'm not just looking for the money. See, more important than the money is the quality. If this quality that's going to come in, then this quality that's going to come out. And if it is a reject that's coming in, the reject will come out. The actions that will flow out also will not be of that standard. It's absolutely pure and clean, and clean will come out. Umarji Sahib Rahmatullahi was giving one bayan. Yeah? Says one man is crossing a town. In the old days in India, you can still remember, in many towns there won't be eating houses. So now a person is traveling and he has to stay over there for a day or 2 days for some work of his. So the townspeople will see that this man is a stranger, the traveler, they will arrange the food. He'll stay in the masjid, a small room there, and the townspeople will arrange the food, say, I'll do the lunch, someone says, I'll do the supper. So the meals arrangements used to be done like this. So this person is traveling and he's stayed over the night there. Then the second night, and then the third night, the third night was over, so the host says to the man, to the guest, well, it's 3 nights, and the hospitality is supposed to be just for 3 nights. Now you have overstayed now move. But why insisting? No, let's move, go now, it's 3 nights. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dhayfa ja'izatahu thalathata layalin. You need to show the hospitality for 3 days. So 3 days over, now move. But why are you insisting so much? So he forced him, he said, you see, for all the nights that I'm here, I'm eating your food, I see Nabi Sam in the dream. First night, the second night, and the third night. And the whole day I feel so motivated, just disillusioned from the world. I don't want the world, don't want to hear about it, don't want to listen to it. Just to be in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, feeling so much of happiness in that. Now, there must be something, some secret in your wealth that's creating this type of motivation and drive within me. It's an ordinary person, and he's saying, it's made it out, it's connected. It's what you're taking in, that's what you're going to get out. I don't know now why there's no motivation, there's no drive. Getting whole host of doubts and suspicions in your mind about people, about yourself, about deen, etc. Then I'm not looking at the cause. The intake will show what, will show the behavior, will show the thought, will show the direction. So anyway, this person that showed the hospitality, the host, was forced now, is put into the corner, you must show me, otherwise I'm not going to leave. Says, see, I asked you to leave because, see, it's just me, my wife, and my child. So when you stayed over for the first night, then we all said, all right, we'll pass on our food to you. So we had three rotis, and the three rotis we passed on to you. By the second night, I could see my daughter couldn't manage it. So she had a share, and my wife had her share, and I gave up my share. By the third night, now, I also gave my share, my wife also gave up her share, and then my daughter also gave up her share. So now, I can see now we are in the point of starvation. We didn't have anything to eat for 3 days, just to respect the guest, right? As the Nabi is instructed. And we can't manage any of this, alright? I understood this point. But what's in your wealth that you're doing so well? You're eating, this is the food that you've provided me, and I feel so well for these 3 days. He says, you see, I'm a menial worker, right? I sell straw, that's my earning. Now in India, I don't know if it still happens, but up to recently, so they have thatched roofs. So to thatch the roofs, you need to have straws. So that was like a good business. So this is my business. I go into the wilderness, cut the straw, and I sell this. And then I divide this into three portions. One is for myself, my children, household. Number two is I put it back into the business. And number three, the third part, I give it out in the name of Allah Ta'ala for some good cause, whatever good cause, but I divide it into three portions. This is what I'm doing. So, well, that's the secret. The goodness of your earning and the goodness of your spending. You're earning well and you're spending well. So that when you're earning well and you're spending well, you must experience this type of barakat. You must experience this type of goodness. So this clarity, no discrepancy, no ambiguity in the dealings. So you confirm the date as well. Alright, this is the date. Date of payment, you see exactly which is the date. Number three, it's also required that the commodity must be known. It mustn't be concealed. It must be known. You must have the right to see the commodity that is being sold. I cannot just tell you, alright, whatever is in this box is yours. So now, you may be guessing, it may be one cockroach that's inside, and maybe there's a diamond inside. Now, won't there be a dispute later on? So you must have, the purchaser must have the right to see what's inside. What is the quality? Is it defective? Is it right? It is not right. So he's got the right to inspect that thing. If it is not right and not to the agreement, you have all the rights to return it. Any defect, any problem as was arranged. So he's got all the right to return that thing. So that's the third requirement for the sale to be valid in Islam. Now, see the clarity. Make it very, very clear. Number four, after all this is done, right, you have specified the date, the payment, right, the substance, the commodity that is being sold. We've got all that, everything is clear, nothing is ambiguous. Then the fourth requirement is that if it is a dealing that's related to a future transaction, subject in credit, right? Then Islam says, إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَكْتُبُ. Then reduce it to writing. Because there can be a dispute afterwards. I said, no, I'm going to give you 1 dozen. And you said, no, you promised me 2 dozen. Now, where is this discussion going to lead you? It's going to be leading to a problem. I said, 1 dozen. You say, no, 2. So no, you're supposed to be paying me on this date. And you arguing, no, on this date. So this dispute is not going to end. So when it's related to a future transaction, then write it down. Write it down, both people have signed. And then, this is not sufficient. Someone can turn around and say, well, this was forged out, you know. It's not a true documentation. It's forged. Islam says that then appoint witnesses. وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِيدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُونَا رَجُلَيْنِ فَرَجُلُوا وَمْرَأَتَانِ See how much of accuracy, precision, and how much of transparency. Appoint two men. And if there aren't two men available, one man, then two women. أَنْتَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى Women are not so much exposed to all these things here. So they can stumble. If one has mistaken, the other is there to correct her. See how much of precaution has been exercised just to see that there is no fight, there is no dispute, there is no misunderstanding. But in the meanwhile, you stand to gain that promise, that businessman that is true, right? Saduq, al-tajiru saduq, I mean, he's honest. He's not only true, but he's honest as well. He's promised and he honors his promise. Then he'll be ranked with the Anbiya alayhi salam. You know, normally, those people that have strived very hard, they will be ranked with Anbiya alayhi salam. Here, Nabi Sam is promising that businessman, you're doing your business, but it's absolutely true. You're absolutely honest. You also gain to be in the ranks of the Anbiya, in the ranks of the Awliya, top ranking Awliya. You can be in their ranks just because of you being a straight businessman. Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi, he is a leading student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. So someone objected, you know, you've written so many books, laws, regulations of deen, theoretical discussions you've written, and it's such an acceptable book, the whole world reads about Surah, everybody reads it. But then we don't see that you have written any kitab on tasawuf, on piety and abstention, etc., leave the world. We haven't seen you writing any kitab of that nature. So his answer was, you see, I have written a kitab on dealings. And a person can only escalate the path of righteousness if he's true and honest in his dealings. If he's not true and honest in his dealings, then he can't escalate. You know, an engineer comes up to me. I was surprised. Some people are so true and so honest. He says, well, you know what? I work for this company here. And can I use my phone in my work time? Look at him. He was surprised. Said the person, I just wanted to know what is in his mind. And I know the answer. But I just wanted to know what's in this person's mind, what prompts him to ask this type of a question. And he says to me, that really shook me up, you know, so truthful, so honest. He says, you see, I am working for this person. I'm an engineer, I get a very good top salary, 200,000 rand I get. But I'm supposed to be working there for 6 hours. I go in at 9 o'clock, and I leave at 3 o'clock. So, for that 6 hours that I'm giving, they are paying me 200,000. Right? Now, the commodity that I'm selling is time. I'm giving him time. And in lieu of the time, he's giving me 2,200. Right? So the commodity that I'm giving is my time, my expertise, my competence. And he is giving me in return, he's giving me 200 for that. So time against that wealth. Right? Now, if I'm going to be using my phone in his time, then I'm cheating. Because the time belongs to him. I'm robbing him. Who does the time belong to? When I've sold him my time, then who does the time belong to? Time belongs to him. It doesn't belong to me anymore. So I can't do anything without his consent. Besides namaz, the ulama all have made a provision for namaz. But even if it is the promised time, you've got the right to go and perform your namaz. But then it doesn't mean that you take 2 hours to perform your namaz. form your namaz averagely and continue, return to your work. Moderately, properly, form your namaz and carry on. Like how toilet is a genuine need, whether you mention it, do you document it or not, it's a need. So namaz also is a genuine need, nobody can avoid it. Whether, even if the boss tells you you can't perform your namaz, then too, like how he tells you, you can't go to the toilet. So you know, this doesn't, you know, it's illogical, how can it work? So he says, you know what, this will be robbing, you're cheating, because it's his time, and I can't eat up into his time. So I explain, yeah, your answer is right. But just one added thing, if the boss himself says, all right, I allow you 15 minutes in this work time of yours, in the 6 hours of yours, you can't use the phone for approximately 15 minutes. In that stipulated time, within that time, if you are phoning, there's no problem. But if it's 1 second above that, then you're robbing. That is why the hadith says, Zin warjah. Zin warjah. When you are weighing, you see, weighing, then fill the scale, give slightly more than what you're supposed to be giving. One friend of mine, many years ago, so this was an old haram, Makkah, Mukarrama. So he used to have the Johara, this jewelry shop. So the jewelry shops there are not like our small jewelry shops here. Massive gold I see on your tents, what they're selling, of a different caliber, thickness, etc. So he had one shop there. He went out in Jamaat a bit, and then he returned. So he created some awareness and some consciousness about Akhirat or Hisab or the dealings being right. So he comes back and he calls his son, you know, for a jewelry shop. And this is what I heard. His son has commanded that when you're giving something, give slightly more. So this is such a comprehensive law, give slightly more. The worker also feels, all right, I'm supposed to be giving 6 hours, let me give 10 minutes more. It was a small discrepancy had come up. The boss on his side, he says, well, I'm supposed to give him 100, right? Let me give him 101,000. So if I have pushed him slightly more, then I'm not losing. Say I have pushed him slightly more than what he was required to do, I'm not losing. So both sides, zim warja, weigh and till, give little more than what you require, whether it is the employer, whether it is the employee. Both are on the same page. I need to give slightly more than what I am required to. It's possible that in the course of the work, I've squeezed the person, I have bad-mouthed him, I have pushed him, my demands, my expectations were higher than what was expected. So somewhere there must be some discrepancy, and I may be wrong. I'm not a farishta, I'm not an angel. I cannot justify and prove myself innocent in every situation. There must be a mistake here and there. So let me cover up. Let me give slightly more than what I'm supposed to be giving. So anyway, this person here, he calls up his son and says, I learned now, this was the hadith. Hadith is saying, give slightly more than what you're supposed to be giving. So the son's objected, but you know what you're talking about. You're talking about aloo and piyaj, you know, potatoes and onions. This is gold talking about. And every gram counts here. So the father's reply was too beautiful. He says, you see, I'm not talking of gold, I'm talking of the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The whole world and the heavens cannot compare to the single word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's so valuable, it's so great, it's so exalted, the whole world and its content can't be equal to one single word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The father explained this, son said, well, there's no reply to this, we'll start off. And they started off. And true to his words, so honest, right? He had just one shop right in the Haram Sharif, right in the front line of the Haram Sharif. And in about 2 years, that thing went, grew and grew. He went to about 5 shops. And he calculated what he's giving, you know, that extra that he's giving every day. That amounted to about 1 kilo of gold he's giving every day. His shop is about 5 shops. Customers are coming and going out, coming and going out. And the busy period, you know what happens? It's crowded. So he has given 1 gram, 2 grams, 2 grams, 2 grams. So, but when he's calculated what he's done for the day, comes sometimes to about 1 kilo in the day. But the shops are just expanding and growing. You see, what we need to understand is our iman is in the unseen. That is why the first verse in the Quran, Alladina yu'minuna bil ghayb, the belief is in the unseen. We haven't seen Allah's love, but we believe it, don't we? We haven't seen the Nabi Sallam, but we believe. We haven't seen the Malaika, but we believe, don't we? We haven't seen the day of judgment and Qiyamah, but we believe on that day. We haven't seen Jannat, we haven't seen Jahannam, but don't we believe? So, by the same token, we believe that we'll do and Allah will do for us. We will do and Allah Ta'ala will do for us. But 3 months ago, one woman living in Riyadh, just in the outskirts of Riyadh, and she's employed an Indonesian to do menial work, Indonesian woman. So, this Indonesian woman that she's employed, the woman is noticing, woman of the house, mistress of the house, she's noticing, every 2 hours or 3 hours she's going to the bath and coming back. She's going to the bath and coming back. When she saw this happening for the fourth time, so she called and said, what is this? I see every 2-3 hours you're going to the bath and coming out. So the Indonesian worker, he cried. He said, you see, we are in constraints financially. I have just delivered my child 1.5 or 2 weeks ago, and I had applied for this job, and the job was confirmed. And if I'm going to reject the job, then I must reapply. I don't know after how many years I'll get to secure a job. The family, the household, they're all living in constraints. They need this money to sustain them. And I've just taken this so that I can be of help to them. But you see, the child that I have delivered is just 1.5 or 2 weeks now. And now the milk is just filling up. And the milk is filling up, I'm feeling miserable, I have to go and express that milk out. So the woman felt, Arab woman felt sorry for her. So alright, your fear, what it cost should be more or less approximate. And then, this was a salary that we had promised you. 3,000 riyals for the month. This plus the AFE, right? So you go and take care of your child for the next 2 years. I've given you everything in advance, so you don't need to work for 2 years. And then when you complete it, I'll still keep this work available for you. Don't worry, I'll promise you, and I'll keep this work available for you. In the meanwhile, this Arab woman had cancer in a very bad way. Fourth stage, doctors had given up, leukemia, whatever she had, all had given up for. Now, because the thing had progressed so badly, she had to go for a monthly or two-weekly checkup. Now, when she goes for the checkup, the doctor was checking, said, have you taken any alternative medication? No, nothing. What have you been doing? Meditating or nothing? But no, there must be something that you were doing. So why? But why are you asking? There's absolutely no trace of the problem. That cancer is No trace. See, we believe in the unseen. You do, and Allah Ta'ala will do for you. Now, if one of us are going to do this, I don't think it will work out. Why? Because we're testing Allah Ta'ala. See, this woman did it, so it worked for her. So now I'll do it, perhaps it will work for us, for me. So you're not doing it with that spirit and with that feeling. She did it, and she did it with that feeling and that spirit. For the sake of Allah, she's done it. And here you're trying to test out Allah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to see how you're going to respond to this. So that's not the way that you work with Allah. You work with Him with love. You work with Him with conviction and faith. And then He will do for you. Definitely, in each time, He will do for you. So we're talking about dealings, and the person who's dealing is honest. He's honest, he's truthful, and then Allah Ta'ala elevates him to the ranks of the Anbiya, Siddiqeen. We have to leave those that are martyred in the cause of Allah Ta'ala. He's ranked up. So, he's showing us an easy method. We all have to go, right? But if we ranked up in the hereafter amongst these people here, what a blessing. Imam Muhammad Alhamdulillah, he asked, you haven't written a kitab on piety and righteousness. All other ulama, they write a kitab on piety. But you haven't written, so I've written a kitab on right and honest dealings. And any person is going up the spiritual ladder, he has to be true, he has to be honest. Because no matter what he tries, he's not going to get access. He's not going to get access. He won't get any closer to Allah. You can't be truthful to people. How are you going to be truthful to Allah? You're cheating people here. Maybe someone's in the marketplace only. So, he saw a person displaying his grains. Now, saw the grains there, and he thrust his hand into the grain. He saw it's moist wooden, and the top layer is dry. But you know, grains, they become moist, then you can't use it. It's moist from inside, and the top layer is all dry. What is this? This is not, it rained last night, and I have to sell this now. What must I do with this? I'm stuck up with this. So let me say one. Man ghashana falaysa minna. One who cheats, who robs. In whichever way, he robs and he cheats, then he is not of us. So now this engineer, now look at the truth. Look at the truth. Look at his honesty. Through the words. So I'm working for this person here. He is a disbeliever. I don't say that he's a Muslim. But that doesn't mean that I must rob him and I must cheat him. I must be honest in my work. I must be truthful. What I've done, the sweat of my brow, and I rather have half a loaf than having one loaf, and then I got all this type of wealth here. It's all mixed up. You know, it's for a glass of water, and someone throws one drop of urine, and you don't drink it. So you can't accept that little bit of contamination, little bit of pollution, you don't accept it. And how you want Allah Ta'ala to accept your deeds that are contaminated? Halal, haram, ishtab, all that. And want that to be accepted by Allah, how is it going to happen? The importance of seeing and ensuring that it is absolutely halal. There's no contamination. There's no mixing up. But have that little, like I say, if it's going to be genuine, then genuine deeds are going to come out. There's not going to be fights. So the fourth point Islam says, let it be documented, and let there be witnesses to it. Now you're wondering, you know, there's one point left. One point left, what have we documented it, everything. But now he says he doesn't have the cash. He's crying around that he doesn't have the cash. Time is up. He agrees. He's not in denial. But now he just doesn't have the cash. Islam says, when kuntum fi safari, you are on a journey, in a state, you need to take something. وَلَمْ تَجِدُوا كَاتِبًا فَرِحَانٌ مَقْبُولًا. Now, you've documented the thing, everything is going on, but now you're still feeling uneasy. Now, what about my money? When is it going to come? Islam says, then when you're closing a dealing, then there must be some type of a collapse, some security. Now, can you get a more perfect transaction? But witnesses to it, you've got a scribe to write it down, both parties have initial sign, and over and above all this, then Islam says, have a collateral. Now, if you work like this, can there be any dispute? Can there be any fight? So this is now the promise Allah Pak's Nabi Sahib is making for that businessman that is truthful. Abu Zughanuddin, our elders, they did this. Very truthful, very accurate. No contamination, no haram, interest, etc. Al-Mu'ad Thanwi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was studying at Darul Diyomani. Now, in the course of his studies, he's looking at the kitab that he's thinking about his father's business. Father's a big, wealthy person. Now, when the father is doing some type of a credit transaction, then he's asking for a collateral. He's asking for a security. So the man is giving a security as a building. This is a building, and this is a security. Now, when he's got the building, so he's renting it out, and he's enjoying the rent. Father has taken the building as a security, as a collateral, and then he's leasing it out and he's enjoying the lease. So Muaz saw this, he thought to himself, you know, but this is not right. Because the hadith says, Kullu qardin jarra naf'an riban. Every debt that brings along some type of a profit, some type of a gain, and that is riba. is interest. I gave you a loan, and I'm taking something in exchange. I gave you a loan, and I'm taking something in exchange. Now that I gave you a loan, so I come to your place, come for a dawah, take me here, take me there, etc. So because in lieu of that loan, I'm drawing some type of a benefit, that's interest, pure interest. So Mulana is still studying, he's number 40 or something, and he writes up to his father, but you know what you're doing is not right. The contamination. You took a coal actually, you can't enjoy any type of a benefit from this. Mulana's father is a businessman, a little bit affected. He went up to his Hindu friend, and he says to his Hindu friend, you know what, I sent this boy of mine to go and study. Today now he is trying to preach on me. He's preaching to me that it's haram and this is interest, etc. So that Hindu friend tells him, thank Allah Ta'ala. Thank Allah Ta'ala, thank your God. You may not say Allah Ta'ala, thank your God. Because if it was that you had sent your son to become a doctor, right, then your doctor, your son would have corrected you in medical problems. Anything to do with medicine, you would have corrected you. See, you've got this problem here. You need to correct your diet. You need to abstain from this. You need to go and rectify yourself. If you had sent him to become a lawyer, for example, then he would show you how you save yourself from legal implications. If you had sent him to become an accountant, he will show you how to avoid tax. So now he is showing you, you believe in the hereafter, he is showing you how you must save yourself from the problems of the future, of the hereafter. So thank your child that he's so concerned and he's got such a love for you, he doesn't want to see you in problems in the hereafter. See, the child also is thinking, alright, I learned this, my father is involved in this, and then he can't continue. Otherwise, the whole household will be contaminated. And when he got this explanation, straight away he stopped it. Whatever he had taken, if he turned, said that this is haram, I didn't know it was haram. Now that I got a proper explanation, and the child is telling me something for my own future, and for my own hereafter, and there's no reason that I go into denial and I just reject what he's saying. I must accept it. Wholeheartedly I must accept it. Returned everything, came on to pause again, and ask Allah Ta'ala's tawbah and forgiveness. See, straightness. Absolute straight. We don't play around with that. It's a gift of Allah Ta'ala. And our yaqeen is that if it's right and clean, then that little is too much. It will bring about, see, we have got wealth, but there's no happiness in the house. But the wealth, but there's no satisfaction within the home. There's that wealth, but there's not the warmth in the home. Why? Because of the same thing, that there's some problem somewhere. Wealth is not right. Before, good wealth used to come to masjids, madrasa, etc. So a lot of good used to be flowing, because it's good coming in. And now it's not like that. You're getting good and mixed up and everything coming in. So what is coming out also is not as good and solid as what it used to be in the past. So you see this accuracy, cleanliness, honesty, this is deen. Sometimes we restrict ourselves, our deen, just to some rituals and namaz. I don't say it's not important. It's very important. But this halal and haram is also equally important. One person went to visit his friend. His friend is ailing, quite serious, to him to visit him. So whilst going to visit him, olden days now, no lights, using lamps and all that. So whilst he's seated there, and this person just passes out. So when he passed away, straight away, he put off the lamp. Took out money from his pocket, went to the shop, bought a lamp, kerosene, etc., lit it up, and did whatever they used to do. So the household asked him, but what was the need for this formality? This thing was burning already, why did you put it off? What was the reason? When a man died, straight away you switched it off, and then you bought your own, you lit it up, and you did all the ghusl, etc. But what was the need for that? What a beautiful answer he gave. He said, you see, as long as this man was alive, all this belonged to him. And it was being done, the using of the house with his consent. He was alive, was in his senses, so we were using all this with his consent. But now that he's no more, it doesn't belong to him. It's moved on to his heirs, his children, his wife, etc. Right? And my guess is that he may have some infant children. You may have some daughters, but a wife. Now, to go and ask them for consent, little children, it's not right, first of all. And there's girls involved, and his wife is involved. It doesn't seem right to go and speak to them. The easiest way out of this whole equation was just to buy my own, let the thing burn, and let us do the whole, whatever the procedure is required, we will do it. But now, imagine the complication. It's a minor. How am I going to compensate him? He's a minor. He doesn't have the right to consent. He's a minor. He can't say, oh, take 50. He can't do that. So in heavens, doesn't have the right. He's a minor. He can't use his understanding and discretion as to what he's doing, what is going to be the consequence of his actions. So he doesn't have the right. You've got his small children, you've got daughters, and then to go and speak to them becomes a very complicated thing. The easiest and the simplest thing was, we don't get ourselves messed up, we use our own, arrange whatever is supposed to be arranged, so we've got no answerability of a conscience before Allah Ta'ala is absolutely clear and clean. See, this consciousness with Allah Ta'ala must be absolutely clean and clear. I'm not owing no haram, no contamination, no riba and interest, no inheritance problems. I've cleared everything up. Alhamdulillah, you get some person, a man, single, I just came to India, so in 1980. So he was in partnership with his brother. Brother is in Johannesburg and he's here. We're doing some fuel and other physics, 79. So the day he passed away, his accountant came and said, see, we were two brothers. There are two brothers, one brother passed away. We were in a partnership. And now everything is not recorded, nothing is recorded. Along and everything we are doing, and what must we do? And they see, whatever it costs, do it today, and within the week, make the hisab, and pass on his share complete. So, you know, the business will take a knock. That whether it takes a knock or not, just pass exactly what, make the proper hisab, give slightly more, couple of few thousand more, and pass it on. Right? That's the instruction I'll do. And I willingly do it. I forgot about the whole thing. The accountant came and told me afterwards, you know, with the barakat of doing it correctly, honestly, passing on that money, because that man had some children, small little children, but he passed their share completely, gave a few thousand more, and passed everything. He says, today, my boss is the wealthiest in this whole town. So, goodness, not an educated person, but he's got about five accountants working for him. Five C's working for him, so wealthy. But you see this honesty, truth, clear, not robbing, no treachery, no interest, not playing around with people's inheritance. So, at the beginning it sounds, hey, I have to part away with so much of my wealth. But thereafter, Allah Ta'ala allows that thing to just grow. From one level to the second, all man is about the wealthiest guy. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we eat halal, we live halal, and we work in halal as well. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulil kareem. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.